Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How you doing this fine summer day?
I am doing well, man. I'm feeling streamlined. I made up with the barber yesterday. I'm ready to go get him.
I saw that. What happened? You got all your money's worth this time?
Well, I did. You know, we had Sport Clips, those guys out at the Alpharetta studio, and we interviewed their local franchise gurus,
right.
And I got the coupon, and I started going, and but I told them to cut it close to the bone this time, because it's hot outside.
And they did.
Yeah, I got my money's worth.
Absolutely. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know what's happening? We're getting closer and closer to this Best and Brightest event of yours. Are you getting nervous yet?
I'm getting Monica fever.
Yeah? You've been watching the local news?
Well, you know, Monica Pearson and I, we're going to do this thing together, right?
That's right. It's the at the Atlanta Marriott Century Center, and that's going to be the top, what are they, the Best and Brightest winners for Atlanta.
And we had a handful of them in here last week on Amy Auto Show, yeah?
Yes, we did. We had, I think, five or six of them. It was a great show. And that's a great event. And at the event, you're going to MC? What are you doing?
Well, I got to wear a suit, I'm told.
And a suit?
So I'm having a suit cut right now. I don't know if it's going to be ready in time or not. I may have to rent one.
Really?
I don't own a suit.
Yeah,
I've been in radio all these years.
And let's see, the website for that, if anybody wants more information, I think there's still tickets available. It's the number 101, and it's bestandbrightest.com. And you can see the winners at /winners/2011/Atlanta. That simple rolls off the tongue website.
I think we might need to get them a web console. A lot of slashes on
yes,
that.
Yes, I think we should put the link up somewhere. It's on our website, I think, right?
Yeah, it's on the website over there on the... Yeah, you can click on the picture.
Yeah. So you don't have to memorize it.
Right, it's like a see and say book.
Exactly. So what do we got today?
Well, we have speaker author Glenn Carver, who's got a new book coming out. Welcome to the show, Glenn.
Thank you, Stone. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, we are delighted to have you speaker author. You know, everybody I run into in a cocktail party in my limited group of friends, they all think they've got a book in them, and they all think, you know, I think I could do that. I want to be a speaker sometime. You obviously decided that at some point, but what compelled you to get in this line of work, man?
Fear, and originally. The first time I ever spoke in public, I was so scared that I literally almost passed out. Now, provided I was a college student at the University of Georgia taking a management class, and I was grossly unprepared, probably a little hungover, and I got up to present to, you know, 15 or 20 of my classmates, and my knees were knocking. I got nauseous, you know, pale white, and I thought I was going to hit the floor.
And then after that, you're like, I want to do this more.
That's right.
I'm going to do this every day.
This is awesome. I want to do this every day. Exactly. So I decided, you know, I couldn't live my life with that fear. Most people would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy.
I've heard that.
You know, public speaking is most people's one of their greatest fears. And I knew I couldn't. I had to confront that fear. So shortly out of college, I got into network marketing, which I knew would force me to present. And it did. And, you know, overcame the fear and then started getting used to it and then started liking it and then started loving it. And like a lot of the things that you overcome, you get kind of addicted to it. So I love the stage. I love people. I love connecting with people. I love contributing, teaching. And let's face it, speakers love the love.
And you probably have a suit, right?
I have two suits.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's good for two-day events.
That's right.
No three-day events for him.
That's important. That's important. So what are you speaking about, and what kind of problem are you out there trying to solve for organizations that hire you?
Ultimately, turning adversity into opportunity. There's massive, massive opportunity right now. As a matter of fact, a new friend of mine, Steve Siebold, who's the author of many.
We know Steve.
Do you
we
know
had
Steve?
Steve come in here. Yeah,
well,
what
good.
A great guy.
He's a great guy. Great guy who's humble. He's real. He's down to earth. He's one of the. He's in the top 1% of speaker authors earners on the planet. He makes the cash register ring.
You know the magic formula in that whole system.
I'm all ears.
It's not Steve. It's Dawn Siebold.
She is the one.
Believe me.
Yes.
They're both great people.
I thought it was because he was a guest on the show.
Well, that, you know, between Dawn Siebold and because Steve came on the show.
He will tell you this show made his career.
Exactly.
Or will say that, at least. One of us will.
Go ahead. We interrupted.
No, I love it. He recently said on an interview that he believes more millionaires will be created the next 5 years than in the history of the U.S. of this country. And that's because all of the post-recession problems that need to be solved. And I'm a massive fan of our founding fathers. I believe they're the greatest entrepreneurs in the history of civilization. Look what they did. I mean, this country is the ultimate startup. And I want to take a stance for entrepreneurs, give them strategies, emotional support. Starting anything can be mean, tough, and nasty in the business world. And I just want to be a resource for entrepreneurs, the people who really make this country what it is, the greatest country on the planet.
I think he's a patriot.
I think so.
We'll have him back on July 4th week, right?
Yeah. We missed Memorial Day, sorry.
So how do you go about, if you're in a corporation and the boss says, go get us a good speaker, how do you shop for a speaker? Because they're everywhere. I mean, you could throw a rock in any direction and hit one, right?
Sure.
So how do you shop for one and not hurt yourself?
Well, you've got to be referred. So I'm working on that, working on my branding. Hopefully this book that I'm writing will help. Getting aligned with people like Stephen Siebold. I just joined his Siebold Success Network, which is a paid referral network for speakers, authors, consultants, and trainers. As he said very clearly, you're not going to cold call these top corporations and get billed. People need to hear about you. So I'm all about doing serving the marketplace, getting exposure. That's why I love the opportunity to be on radio. I do lots of free talks around Metro Atlanta. So looking for exposure.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the book?
Do I have to?
If you want. If you got a minute.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I would love to.
What's the book called?
Well, the book is called Stand in the Heat.
And it's pretty hot.
It's hot.
It's hot outside.
It's hot. Lessons from Legendary Entrepreneurs on Staying Cool Under Pressure. I am not a legendary entrepreneur. I am interviewing and studying legendary entrepreneurs. But this whole brand, this whole idea came to me February 2nd of 2010, last year. I was stuck in classic gridiron traffic, a parking lot in 75 South, headed to an appointment, and I was had the windows up. And for me, the car can be a sanctuary, so I do a lot of my great thinking, if I'm capable of great thinking.
We'll see. After the book comes out.
Remains to be seen. Some people, it's the shower. Some people, it's an airplane. But at the time, I'm 44 years old now. At the time, I was 42. Had a beautiful three-month-old boy at home, my firstborn. And for a man, that's massively inspiring and motivating. And at that time, my bank account was on vapors. I mean, so I was scared. I was nervous. I was anxious. How am I going to do this? And I heard a voice very clearly. Don't know if it was my conscience or God or somebody in between say, Glenn, stand in the heat. Don't freak out. Stand in the heat. Don't freak out. And in that moment, I saw something very compelling. I saw this book. I saw a platform. I saw a keynote speech. I saw a website. That night, I went to GoDaddy.com and StandInTheHeat.com was available. I took that as a great sign.
As an omen.
Yeah, there you go. But I just realized that, you know, as I sat there in traffic, I realized there are more people standing in the heat financially right now than probably in our lifetimes, perhaps since the Great Depression. So I said to myself, I've never started a company that's employed thousands of people or never saved anybody's life, never, you know, had a battle with cancer. But what can I do? I can interview some great people, learn great stories, and I can pass that on. That can be my platform. So this book, this project, Stand in the Heat, it's a book series. The first book, I'm showcasing entrepreneurs because I think a lot of people, the general public, sees somebody who's very successful, and they assume, A, they were born with a silver spoon, or B, they got lucky. And that ain't the case. There was years, decades of stick-to-itiveness and taking risk and falling on their face and getting back up and just the massive persistence, and a lot of it's learned, but a lot of it's DNA.
So you think this title really lends itself to a series, and is the idea kind of like the chicken soup for the soul, and you're going to ask different categories of people, or just continue to interview more and more people? Or?
Amen, Stone. That's that book series, the Chicken Soup for the Soul, is a publishing phenomenon that's massively inspired me. I'll do a book for for single moms. I'll do a book for perhaps, you know, addicts, for...
But you'll stay with it, like Standing in the Heat for Teachers,
exactly,
or something like that?
Exactly. That's my vision. But you know what? My newest favorite quote is by Woody Allen, and he said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. So who knows where this thing's going? Who knows where it's going? I just know it's going somewhere. And so I'm enjoying the ride.
What does stand in the heat mean?
Well, thank you for asking. It's an acronym. H is for honor. I truly believe that by being entrepreneurs, we are honoring our true selves. I mean, we're honoring our DNA. We're honoring our calling, our true purpose. E is for enthusiasm. You got to have enthusiasm to be an entrepreneur. I mean, you can't be sitting there in the fetal position with sucking your thumb, sitting on your heels. You've got to be after it all the time and bring great energy to your project. A is for attitude. You have to have a tremendous attitude, and action could be both, attitude and action. I'm a huge fan of and student of Tony Robbins, and if you read all of his books and if you've been to his seminars, he boils it down to one thing: taking massive action. You've got to take massive action.
Now, did you walk across the coals like they say on the TV? Did you try that trick?
I walked across coals with Scott Goodnight recently. Interesting you should ask me that.
How about that? I don't think you should try it until you read one of the books or buy the
DVD.
If you walk across the coals before you buy the DVD, then you're really standing in the heat.
Right. That's right. That's right.
And so, the tea?
I've walked across the heat.
Have you really? That's really cool.
Still standing in heat. I am living this. This is my personal laboratory, classroom, therapy. I mean, everything this project is about is getting me closer to where I need to be. I'm a guinea pig. But the T is for tenacity. Got to be tenacious. You cannot give up. Winston Churchill said it best. Never, 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 never give up.
I think he was serious, old Winston.
He meant it.
He was serious.
Right. There was no.
That was
dabbling.
13, by the way.
And the bank account no longer on vapors?
It's not on vapors any longer. I'm glad to admit that. It's not where it needs to be and where it's going to be, but it's not on vapors.
So what kind of questions did you ask these? Have you been asking these entrepreneurs? And maybe you can share a few examples and some answers that maybe surprised you a little bit. Maybe you thought they were going to tell you this and they told you that.
Yeah, that's been my experience. I mean, I've asked these entrepreneurs about 20 to 25 consistent questions. Primarily, I wanted to get at their entrepreneurial spirit, what drove them, when did they realize they were entrepreneurs, mistakes they've made, and how other entrepreneurs who are out there chasing their dream right now can benefit from that, what they're afraid of, what they still fear. Everybody has fear at some level. Well, I'll take that back. There's one group of people that don't have any fear at all. They're, what do we call them? They're dead.
That's it.
Dead people have no fear.
There you go.
Dead people have no fear. George McCara, first interview. What a cool guy. Founder of Longhorn Steakhouse.
Oh, okay. I didn't recognize the name, but I recognize Longhorn.
Yeah. Ted Turner's partner in Ted's Montana Grill. Just a phenomenal entrepreneur. And it's interesting what he said. He said what Longhorn has become, you know, he built it up and he sold it to Darden, which is the biggest restaurant company
on
the planet. He said what Longhorn has become is a backhanded compliment to his original vision. He just wanted to have four or five restaurants so he could hang out with his buddies, drink beer, play golf a couple times a week, and he surrounded himself with great people, and it took on a life of its own. So he had this original vision, and what it became is nothing like his original vision. So a lot of these entrepreneurs have taught me that you've got to be flexible, got to be open. Got to be fluid.
Got to be ready to pivot.
You got to pivot. Case in point, I just interviewed one of the most amazing people I've ever met in my life, Dr. Kathleen Hall, founder of the Stress Institute and the Mindful Living Network. Mm-hmm. Brilliant, brilliant woman. Resume is stunning, and her globally connected. Just I was in awe. We talked for 3.5 hours, and my jaw was just on the ground. May 20th, she had a vision for the Mindful Living Network that was going to be TV. Because she's got all those connections in all those right places.
Right.
May 20th, 2009, she's walking across the street at the intersection of Santa Monica Boulevard and Rodeo Drive. Pretty nice neighborhood. Bam, gets hit by a car. Tremendous injuries. Mm. It altered everything. Altered her body, her life, but also altered her vision for the Mindful Living Network, which instead of a TV show is now a global community. So you got to be fluid. Got to be flexible. And I like to pivot. I like that.
You like that?
I like that.
So is there an entrepreneur or two that you really want to interview, but you haven't been able to connect with them yet?
Oh, yes.
You're trying to get them booked?
Oh, yeah.
Because Lee can probably get them for you.
Lee's the man.
Out of your 12 you got, I probably half of them I know.
Well, I don't doubt that for a second. But I swung for the fence big time out of the gate. I've gotten some big no's from some big people.
That's good.
And
that's
I realized that I don't need those big celebrity names right now. There are some amazing men and women right in Metro Atlanta who have incredible stories that we can all learn from. And as I know, as the brand grows, and my reach grows, I think I'll get some bigger celebrity names. But I mean, the dream interviewer is Richard Branson. I mean, that's the dream interview.
You look a little like Richard, you know, with the flowing hair and everything. If you could do it, the accent.
I love you, man.
It's all about the accent.
So if you can get me to Necker Island and an interview with Richard Branson, that's...
We'll see.
So
what
all
can
these
do.
Interviews have been face-to-face?
Most of them have been face-to-face. A few have been over the phone. Interviewed Dave Liniger, the founder of RE/MAX International, over the phone.
Cool.
Incredible human being. His story is just... His story is unbelievable. Just interviewed Heather Thompson over the phone. She's the founder of Yummy Tummy,
which
is shapewear that women wear on the outside. She was, I mean, pure entrepreneur. She, after her two children were born, she gained 30, 35 pounds, was frustrated, wanted to do something about it. The product that she needed didn't exist in the marketplace. She cut it up and made it on her own kitchen table. Personal and professional heat. Her first born son was born very ill. At 6 months old, he had to have a liver transplant. As a father, I can't even imagine that. Literally cannot imagine going through that. Right now, she's got a big loss. She's in a big lawsuit with a major, major player in her industry, you know, a multi-billion-dollar giant. And she just takes it with stride. She's grateful. She understands that these things are going to happen and takes it with stride. Interviewed a good friend of mine, Trish McCarty. She's Mother Teresa with an MBA. She's out in Phoenix. She had a corporate banking background, then got into the dot-com space. I mean, a powerful, brilliant woman, been very successful financially. And somehow, some way, 10 years ago, she was inspired to found a charter school out in the desert, in the worst drive-by shooting portion of Phoenix, and she founded the Starshine Academy. And what she's doing is just, it's miraculous. So,
did any of those stories bring you to tears? Anybody touch you, like had some emotional reaction to what they were saying?
I would say definitely the three women I just mentioned. Kathleen Hall, what she went through after being injured so badly by a car. Heather Thompson dealing with what she dealt with her firstborn son. Trisha's story is just amazing, and I'm not afraid to cry. I'll cry in a heartbeat. Let me do it right now.
I cry every month when we do the financials.
Pretty much.
My little boy, Memorial Day night, last Monday, falls off of a chair, busts his chin wide open on the windowsill. We got to take him to the emergency room, get stitches. My wife and I, Lisa, we're crying 10 times as hard as he is.
Right.
It is. You can't imagine how much you love somebody until you see your own son, you know, scared and crying and afraid. So... Oh, yeah, I can cry.
So themes from these interviews, I'm operating under the impression that's much of what bubbled up into the work that you're now committing to paper, but talk to us a little bit about some of the patterns that have emerged from these conversations.
Sure, yeah, that's a great question. Thank you, Stone.
You hear that, Lee? That was a great question.
That was a fantastic question.
You always win the great question contest that we run here.
We keep score.
Great minds ask great questions. Every interview I've learned a nugget. You know, I've learned something that's going to be the theme of that chapter. Case in point, George McCara, clearly turning adversity into opportunity. If you know his story, the snow jam of 1982, when the whole city was shut down, much like earlier January of this year, he had his first restaurant down in Buckhead, massive snowstorm. I mean, closed the whole city down. Fortunately, he was on the Piedmont Hospital grid. And he had a decision to make. As an entrepreneur, should he turn out the lights, lock the door, send his employees home, save on payroll, save on chances of people getting hurt? That's one thing he could have done. But he also had another option. And this is what entrepreneurs do. They see, they look for possibilities. They look for the silver lining in the adversity. As Napoleon Hill said so eloquently in 1937 when he wrote Think and Grow Rich, every adversity has the seed of equivalent or greater benefit. So what he did is he got one of those signs that he had on the side of the restaurant that you roll out and you put the... Put the letters up there and create your own message. And he made a sign that said, drinks $1 while it snows.
Ah, nice.
Have you heard this story?
No, wow. I thought you were going to say he sold shovels.
This was better.
It is better.
So he puts a sign. That's what an entrepreneur does. He saw opportunity. He put a sign out front that said, drinks $1 while it snows. Guess how many drinks he sold that night? The town was shut down by snow. Couldn't drive to the restaurant. Guess how many drinks he sells?
A ton. He had to, yeah?
700.
Wow.
Man.
It was the catalyst for his entire business. It's just, that's a great story. Here's a guy. Right. He gets it. He sees, most people would look at that and say, we'll open up in two more days. I wish the snow had gone. He capitalized on adversity.
That's a great story. Yeah. I'm stealing that story.
It's a phenomenal story. You don't have to steal it. It's true. It's out there.
We're going to put a dollar drink sign on our door.
That's right. While it's hot.
Right. While it's hot. There you go. Nickel night.
So how can our listeners get their hands on this book and learn more about your work and maybe have a substantive conversation with you about you sharing some of this information with their employees?
I appreciate that. The best way to reach me right now, because this is all in process, I have the URL reserved, but I don't have my blog or website up yet. The best way to reach me is Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, @standintheheat.com, Glenn@standintheheat.com, or by phone, 404-291-0291, 404-291-0291. The book will be out September 1st. Looking for speaking engagements all the time.
So you're right now actively looking for speaking engagements, and so people can call you, talk it through, let you know what their objectives are, and you'll help them think that through. And if you're not the right guy, you're in a network of people that might be the right fit.
Absolutely.
Case, right?
Absolutely. We're a very the world of speaker, the speaker community comes from an abundant mentality. There's plenty of money out there.
Well, they really do, and especially that crowd that hangs around Siebold has been my experience. You know, he invited me to hang out with that crowd when they were in Atlanta last time, or maybe time before last. And it's an encouraging, like you say, they have an abundance mentality. That crowd, they do.
Yeah.
I think that's why they're successful.
I think so.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining. I hope you'll come back again sometime.
Would love to.
And I'll tell you what I'd like to do, Lee, if we can work it out. I'd like to have Glenn come back after the book's out and bring a client that he's spoken for.
Oh, that'd be great.
And they could come and talk about the relationship, what you were trying to accomplish, how that worked out, the talk, and maybe any follow-up work you did with them. Would you be up for that kind of conversation?
Would love to. May 5th, I was the guest speaker for the Keller Williams commercial regional event here in Atlanta. I had people from 7 or 8 states, all the way from Alaska in town. So that was my first real big speaking gig based on the content for my book. So
you can get them in here and we'll talk about, see how well you did.
We could do that. I can bribe them heavily beforehand.
That way you can stand in the heat right next to them.
That would be fantastic. I'd love to.
Terrific. Well, thanks again for coming, man. We'll definitely have you back. Marvelous job.
Thank you, Stone. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lee.
Sure.
Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, our producer, Lee Cantor. Our guest this morning, Glenn Carver, the author of Stand in the Heat, that'll be available September 1, and everyone here at the Atlanta Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.